That's really interesting. I can understand that completely. And it actually sort of played out that way. Maybe not as much as people hope, but it still seemed like it did. And that's really interesting the way he viewed it. You know, another outcome in addition to being cured that's interesting that you mentioned here is the fact that he was able to have two children. I'm trying to remember if I've seen anything about fertility with AVD versus ABVD. Do we know anything about that?
Yeah, so I think that information is actively being collected, and we'll hopefully have that information. Obviously, fertility with females is easier to obtain than males in general, and there's often a lag time between completion of therapy and either resumption of fertility or obviously conception. What's interesting, I always find, is that these are obviously young patients, and the number of individuals that actually seek fertility harvesting is proportionately low compared to other diseases, for example, say testicular cancer and other things. But it's important to also note that ABVD doesn't have a very high incidence of infertility. Many patients come to me with a sense that they will be infertile with ABVD, but actually, it's less likely to be true. In fact, unlikely to be true. There was a large cohort analysis in Sweden which looked at rates of infertility with ABVD versus a control population in a large number of patients. And after 3 years, there was very little difference between the control population in terms of birth rates compared to the ABVD arm. Obviously, that incidence is higher the older one is when they receive therapy, if they use alternative therapies like acylated Beacop, and early on in therapy versus after 3 years. But it's interesting to note that while we always discuss fertility management with patients, we don't necessarily insist on patients having egg or sperm harvesting before treatment, particularly if they're symptomatic, and delaying therapy can have significant clinical implications.